just in case you missed it, it's the top five sports talkers of the day. Now, it's time for Dan Barrero's Top 5 at 5, driven by Borton Volvo. Safety has never looked so good.
It is indeed Top 5 at 5 time, and look who decided to blow in today. Pat Kessler, are you going to participate in Top 5 at 5, or are you just going to...
I will make up my mind as we
go. Okay, that's fine.
Let's just see what we got.
That's fair.
Let's see how good guards he did.
That's fair. That's very fair.
I'm rattled after the vicious cheap shot that was just delivered.
Yeah, he told me he was going to deliver that.
Man, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
man,
the cheap shot was... Let's get it out in the open.
Got to be transparent.
Because I have not talked about it since Friday, and I know we have to get back to it, otherwise I'm a fraud. And what I'm referring to is we didn't win the Emmy. And
well, I didn't know that.
Of course you didn't. So basically what you did, after already basically, you know, stationing yourself, positioning yourself where you are now in the studio with me, got back up out of your chair, went back into the other studio where Garzy is, and said, oh, kind of curious, where's the Emmy? That's vicious.
Isn't it? Well, he was looking around, so I thought, as a, you know, 78-year-old man, yeah, he's looking for some type of pain ointment or wipes for the microphone, you know, to disinfect it. I think he's looking for something that he actually needs, and then he hits me with the...
So you were earnestly thinking,
yeah, hey, I was trying to help him out.
I'm moving things around.
I respect my elders, and right when I turned my back, the knife went right in.
Right in, yeah.
Went in so fast, it almost felt good.
Yeah, so we didn't win again.
No,
We have to hold ourselves accountable for it, as we would any team that continues to fail when it matters or the bright lights are on.
It's ridiculous.
It's inexcusable.
It is.
It's what it is, and I'm glad I didn't go. Garzy went. Lori Fisher went.
We had a great time.
I'm told both got wasted and out of, you know, frustration. And
yeah, I'd say the
neither
drinking...
Neither of you drove.
No, we didn't.
That's very fair, very important to say.
No, Lyft is very important.
That's it. No doubt.
Yep.
Well,
drinking...
in this case, you know who the Lyft was. The Lyft was Lori Fisher's mom. Lori Fisher's mom picked up Garzy and Lori Fisher from the award ceremony that they didn't win.
Fantastic.
No, too good.
It's so great.
It's unbelievable.
The drinking ramped up dramatically after we didn't win.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we had like 15 seconds to give a speech if we won. We wanted to have our faculties.
And did you have it ready? Did you have the speech ready?
I mean, 15 seconds, you say a couple of thank yous and get out of there.
What I'm asking is, did you write it down so you didn't forget anybody?
No. Because that would have been jinxing it.
Yeah, well.
All right. But it doesn't matter.
It didn't seem to matter.
And you know the saddest part? One of the hosts of the evening went on and on early about what the Emmys, what they represent, like what winning one tonight represents. And it's not that you beat the other people in the category, because it wasn't like your first place. It was, if you are awarded an Emmy, you were deemed worthy
of one.
And some categories had multiple winners.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was basically
did
like...
Did your category have multiple winners?
No,
it did not.
Which, thankfully, because that would have been more depressing. There's only like four of us nominated, so half of them got it, and we weren't. But that was what we were hoping for, because Leah Beano won. We knew she was going to win.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
she was the first juror
interview, yeah.
So
yeah.
When that happened, we knew we were toast. As David Kahn once said, we were toast.
Yeah,
we were toast. Yeah. I said to Lori, we were toast. But yeah, so he goes on and on about how it's not like you're the best of this category. You're just deemed worthy. So not only were we not the best, because that's how I would have interpreted it.
We weren't deemed worthy.
We were not deemed even worthy of having the Emmy, just the nomination.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, well, I kind of soured after many years of going and not winning, and then winning many times in a row.
How long did it take?
How many years did you have to sit?
Like 10.
That long?
You know.
Well, then maybe it's not over for us yet.
Well, you know, I got very disillusioned when Good Question won Political Reporter of the Year at WCCO, the Good Question reporter.
Well, that's you.
Is that Ben Tracy?
It was Ben Tracy at the time.
And he's gone on.
Like Jason DeRush.
He's never gone
on. Yeah. And so the good question was, why are Democrats blue and Republicans red?
That's a very controversial question.
Yeah, very controversial. So
Maybe we should add that to Lightning Round this week.
Why not?
Why wouldn't we?
It was disappointing.
Well, no, our boost is we got to find a way, as you tweeted, we got to get Lydon on the show. Tom Lydon
cleaned up.
Yeah, he's a fantastic, he's great reporter.
Gotta find
in the Twin
a way
Cities.
To, you know, get some of his.
He will make it edgy. He
signature.
Will
go, so good.
He'll go after you. He'll investigate both of you.
That's what we're afraid of.
And that's then, why we're nice to him. Yeah, and then, hoping there's
but
a
no,
conflict.
Then you put him on the show, and yeah. they're boom.
Yeah.
You win.
He is the Roger Federer of investigative journalism.
If that's what it would take to win, I'm not sure. I may be better off being, you know. Runner, well, I can't even say runners-up because we weren't even that.
We were nominated, though.
Yeah, sure you were.
I did
it's
two,
an honor.
Two real quick things.
Real honor. Yeah.
There was somebody that tweeted out after the show, and I don't remember. This one guy had been nominated like 30 times, and he had not yet won, and he won on Saturday. So there still is
That's
hope.
That's great.
But you know what was even more depressing, Dan? The reason that we could have used your help, actually, after the show is that because not everybody that's nominated goes to the awards. You know, some of them are working. Some of them aren't interested. Some of them are doing other things. We were responsible for picking up all the people that did win from Fox 9. So we were carrying around like five statues for Lydon, one for Leobino. So we have to go to the table
that's brilliant.
And say, we didn't win. None of these are for us, but we have to take them and trust them in our care, which is not fun.
It's actually more humiliating than that, because according to Lori, the photographer on the Beano Emmy-winning event she had to not only grab his, she had to mail it out.
Yeah, it was a double walk of shame.
Because I don't think he lives here anymore. So she had to actually go through that whole process of take the Emmy that she wanted to have for her and mail it to somebody else. You
Excuse
can't make
me,
that
could
up.
You humiliate me five times in the
it.
Next few minutes?
It was humiliating. And it was a fun night, though.
It's a great night.
It was a very fun night. I hope we get nominated again so we can bring everybody with us, because I think my wife would enjoy watching me lose, actually.
And
I think,
you know what they should do in one year, in all seriousness? They should put the whole award ceremony on a boat in Lake Minnetonka. I think they should have on an Allen Alma-sized boat, maybe a bigger one, or maybe just cut down how many people there, have the whole ceremony on a boat.
That is a precarious position you would be in. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
I don't think Lori's mom can pick us up from Big Island.
Yeah. Yeah. Pick you up on a skiff.
Might work.
I don't think Lori's mom can give us a ride from that.
What do you have for top five now that we've finally cleared the air on that issue?
I think people were waiting for us to address it.
Yeah, well,
the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out which picture of Lori eating cheesecake after we lost we want to include on the show on Friday night, by the way, because she not only drank a lot, she ate a lot out of frustration.
I'm more interested in the shots of her drinking.
Yeah. That's just grieving.
We've got plenty of
grieving
both.
Process.
We've got plenty
she
of
She barely
both.
Found a new drink that she likes, huh?
There was a silver lining in the dark cloud that was not winning the Emmy.
Not that that's difficult for her. But anyway.
Anthony Barr did not participate. Everson Griffin did not participate. Veterans Day. Adam Thielen did not participate with a foot injury. Justin Jefferson did not participate with an ankle.
What's going on here?
Alexander Mattison did not participate with a shoulder. Michael Pierce, we know, did not participate. Dalvin was limited. Harrison Smith was limited, just getting the day off. CJ Ham has a quad. And those are kind of the headliners from the Vikings injury report today. On the other side, Panthers head coach Matt Rhule said today that Christian McCaffrey is 50-50 to play on Sunday. He's missed the last handful of games with a hamstring injury. I couldn't go either way right now is the quote on McCaffrey's availability. So there's your injuries for the Vikings.
Well, McCaffrey, we all understand that this is not a really good Carolina team. Everybody got excited because they got off to, I think, a 3-0 start. But
correct.
Look who they were beating. And I'm not saying they're a bad team, but they're not very good. And they blew a lead last week. Was it to Philly?
Yes.
I think it was to Philly. And Sam Darnold has had some ups, has had some downs. I'm not going on any kind of a limb here. Without McCaffrey, they're not very scary. With McCaffrey, I still don't think they're intimidating, but they're a different team if it's the McCaffrey who's healthy enough to make plays, because we all know how good he is. People, though, are making it sound like... See, to me, again, if the Vikings are serious, this is a game they should win.
Agree.
And I mean, people are making it sound like, well, could be a big upset. Look out. I think we're 1.5-point underdogs. If we were playing the way we're supposed to be playing, we wouldn't be underdogs at all. That's the only reason we are underdogs. So I don't want this to be billed as, wow, do you see what the Vikings went to Carolina and did? That's what we're supposed to do. If we are truly the team that Mike Zimmer wants to believe we are.
At the moment, we are 1-point favorites.
Oh, we are favorites now?
On this particular, on the Pick Center at ESPN.
Maybe
but that's going to go back and forth.
Some movement there.
It's going to go back and forth for sure. And the, you know, the McCaffrey thing, like you said, is a big deal. Pat Kessler, do you ever feel alone?
Frequently, like right now.
Do you ever feel alone as a Minnesota sports fan?
Yes.
That, you know, the national pundits don't understand us. They don't get
us.
Very
much so. We are flyover country, don't care as much.
They don't empathize with us.
Absolutely.
Well,
I don't blame them for that.
I'm going to say that's not the whole story.
Wow.
Because Pete Schrager from the NFL Network has gone viral in Minnesota. He's playing the hits.
Here we go.
Giving us what we want. Have you seen this, Dan?
No, but I can see what's coming, and it's just so Minnesotan, it's unbelievable.
I mean, that's why I'm playing it. Right. Here's Pete Schrager on the plight of the Minnesota Vikings fan.
I'm going to go to last week's Vikings-Lions game. The big story afterwards was Dan Campbell crying and so emotional that his team couldn't come out with a win because of this miraculous victory by the Minnesota Vikings in the last second. Have you been watching Vikings games this season? I'm crying for Vikings fans.
Go ahead.
The Vikings have had one of the most historically heartbreaking seasons of any, and it's only 5 weeks in. This was week one, a game that they thought they were in control of, and their star running back fumbles in overtime in Bengals territory. They would eventually lose this in overtime. This is week two. They marched about all the way downfield, and Greg Joseph, who had hit a 50-yarder earlier, misses a 40-yarder. They lose. This is week four. They go to Cleveland, where they somehow hold the Browns to just 14 points, and they lose. And then this week was crazy.
They scored 16-6
against the Lions with a minute left to go. And Greg Joseph comes out to put it away. This one looks like it was good.
Right.
It was short.
So weird.
So then the Lions get the ball back. They score a field goal. Then it's 16-9. Put the game away. Take a knee. End it. Alexander Mattison with a minute left to go.
Just go down.
Just go down. The game's over.
Nope.
He's fighting for yards. He fumbles.
You're so mad.
And then the Lions come back and score the touchdown and have the two-pointer. The fact that it even got to that and that it get this is what we see in the highlights.
Show?
Of,
yeah, I mean, this is crazy.
The Vikings were up 16-6 with 3 minutes left, and they had a missed field goal, and their running back fumbled unnecessarily.
Excited,
like they tried giving this game away, and it's a team that has already given away other games. The Vikings are 2-3. They could very easily be 5-0 right now. They've been
easily.
That good.
So they've been that good.
Crying
so
for
Kansas
the Lions
City.
Fans. Obviously, it's a tragic loss for
everybody.
Them.
I know.
I'm crying for Vikings fans. It's gotta be a heart attack every
Peter,
Sunday.
You're working up a lather over
heart attack every Sunday. Pete Schrager, my guy, NFL Network. He understands how tough it is to be
that
us.
Is, I mean, can he be any more transparent than that?
What do you mean? That
well,
he's just trying to get in our wheels?
Yeah, absolutely. For whatever reason, he's decided. Well, I'm gonna get a lot of play up there.
I was pretty anxious listening.
Fell for it.
Yeah, I mean, just listening to that made me anxious.
Well, usually you
and
fall
he's right.
for this.
I do. 11 points, 3 games in 3 losses. Come on now. I'm with Pete.
Well, then by that logic, can we not also say, can the Detroit Lions not say, by all rights, we should have won that game?
He threw it
and
in
we
there.
We should have beaten.
I mean,
you can play that. You can play that forever.
I feel
doesn't
so
matter.
Bad for the coach.
It's called a loser's lament.
I almost wanted them to win after seeing the coach.
What did you make of the Cousins Zim post game scrum?
Just
whatever
really,
you call
really
it.
Awkward.
Seemed odd.
A really awkward son and dad. You know, trying to hug for the
they
first time after
son
a big
and dad
fight
relationship.
Yeah, after. So I've gone back and forth. First, I thought he was like, "What are you doing?" And then I thought, you know, I think that might be really
it's all
sincere.
Fun and games. Yeah,
yeah,
we love each
you know,
other.
That's what it is.
Okay,
you know?
All right, fair enough. By the way, why do we have so many people not practicing? Is it the veteran thing, or
well, some of them, and then the others were injuries.
So now we already ran Dalvin Cook into the ground. Are we already in danger of running Madison into the ground?
Apparently, he's got a shoulder injury.
Man.
Let's break now.
Oh, we'll do that. We'll come back with a couple of other items because you teased a good one, like Hell Hath No Fury,
yes.
Like a college football coach scoring.
And Kessler, I'm curious about both of your opinions on it because it has to do with a reportage from a student newspaper at a big-time program.
Really?
And I want both of your opinions on
that
it.
That sounds juicy. I have actually another media story for Kessie as well that I want to get his view on as well. We'll get to all that. Kessler is in studio. Bradshaw and Brian inbox is open if you'd like to join us. And what about the ticket giveaways? We're going to have to figure that out during the break, how we're going to do it, because we got wild tickets to give away to the home opener, and we got a pair of tickets to see the Rolling stones recently savaged by Sir Paul McCartney.
Kessler, I think you need to figure out how we're going to give those away.
Yeah, that's going
to
be
And it doesn't
job.
Have to be wild or exotic.
But it can be.
But it could be.
And no, you can't get the tickets, but you don't need them because you already have tickets, and I'm sure you're already in a suite. Back in a minute.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire inside a train wreck.
Download it now.
I wish the American media would take a great look at the views of the people in Congress and find out, are they pro-America or anti-America?
Pat Kessler.
Because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
I can't trust Obama. He's an Arab.
Pat Kessler.
Tear down this wall.
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Pat Kessler.
And now, to help Dan break down all the tough questions in politics, it's our own
Pat Kessler
Political Wonk.
I feel like a supermodel, except like times 10.
It's Channel 4's
Pat Kessler
with Dan Borrero on The Fan.
Indeed, Pat Kessler is with us in studio. We've got tickets to give away. What do you think we should do on the Stones tickets, Kessler? Do you like the idea we were kind of playing with during the break about it gets complicated, though, if we do that. If we say, all right, you know, Mick tends to like to find some bar
mm-hmm.
to try to hang out in every town he goes to.
Which
just
I love.
To sort of feel it.
Yeah.
We could say, all right, pick the bar that... the most interesting bar that you think he should try, but then it's subjective that we have to decide, well, what's the right choice?
Yeah, that's a lot of judgment.
Yeah, that's a lot harder. Now, the other one is the easy one. What's the name of the bar he hung out at in Charlotte?
That's
but is
one,
that
yeah.
too well known?
That's
for
too
people?
Easy.
You think that's too easy?
My suggestion was give it to the 1,130th. 100,300th caller.
That's a lot of calls.
100.3.
Yeah, 100.3.
Yeah.
I don't
well,
think...
You how about 100?
Listen, how about 100?
Wow.
Caller number 100? Then I'm going to miss the show in your greatness.
I know.
Well, we better figure out something.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do Rolling Stone lyrics. We can do Rolling Stone songs. We can just say at 5:45, be listening. We're going to give them away. Caller number 11, yeah. like we do.
Yeah, that's it.
We can do...
That's the way to do it right there.
Sometimes we can't... There's not necessarily the creative deal. We just got to give them
I'm
away.
I'm very excited. I mean, the Stones are going to be... they're great tickets to go see the Stones. Come on.
I have some... I'm a bit skeptical about you going there.
About me going?
Yeah, because I'm not convinced you're going for the right reason.
Oh, what is the right reason and what is mine?
I think your reason is you just, it's a FOMO thing. You want to say you've been there as opposed to any real appreciation for the music. I mean, you have become, I think, with all the extra time you have, I think it's become sort of an appearance game with you. And I hope I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. I am later to the Stones. I was a Beatles fan before I was a Stones fan. But, as our friend Ron Rosenbaum would say, but I have to go because I have seen the Rolling Stones in every decade since the 1970s.
What about the 60s?
But.
There it is. So since the 70s.
And 1970s.
So what venues?
Exile on Main Street was the first tour that I saw.
What venues have you seen the Stones at then?
At Met Center.
Wow.
IKEA.
At Bloomington. At the IKEA
at
building.
The IKEA building.
In Bloomington.
Okay.
At
Metrodome, I'm sure.
At Metrodome.
A couple more than once, I'm guessing.
I've seen him at the Chicago, at United Center in Chicago.
Oh, I didn't realize you left town for one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On the way to see Grateful Dead and ended up at a Stones concert.
Why wouldn't you?
I've seen him at XL Energy Center a couple of times. Yeah, I mean,
have they ever been Target Center?
I have not seen them at the Target Center. I don't know that they have, but so you know, just to keep that decades long, once in every
How
decade.
About it? Did you ever see him at the Caboose?
Would that be something?
It would be. How about it?
I was like 30.
Dakota.
I was like 30 years old.
The Excelsior Fairground.
Yeah, Excelsior Fairgrounds. You're old enough to have seen them at the amusement
where
park.
Where the song is inspired, you can't always get what you want.
Exactly right.
Standing in line with Mr. Jimmy.
Think about it.
Yeah, for the Excelsior guy. We're going to have Rolling Stones tickets to give away the rest of the week, too, at least a couple of days. So we'll definitely include them in Gerby's Lock of the Week, I would imagine, this week. So I think today we'll go caller 11 at some specific time, maybe in the next 30 minutes.
Okay. All right. That's the way we'll do it. You had for Top 5 at 5 a story involving, it sounds like, a big-time college football coach.
Yes. In this case, his name is Lincoln Riley. He is the young, hip now with it and wow, exotic offensive mind head coach at Oklahoma.
Okay.
Oklahoma. They are number 4. They just beat Texas in the Red River Showdown. You can't call it a Red River Shootout anymore. The game you probably covered years ago. It's the Red River Showdown. They just beat Texas.
Okay.
And they've got a quarterback controversy because Spencer Rattler got pulled from the game for Caleb Williams, who ended up basically comeback of the century. They're down 21 points. He brings them back. So they've got this quarterback controversy. And, of course, Lincoln Riley is not committing to either one for their game this coming weekend against TCU.
Wow.
And yesterday he said, we're just going to see how the week goes. We're going to see how things play out. I've got two great options. You know how coaches are.
Sure.
And so he wouldn't commit to anything.
Which is his right.
Mm-hmm. And two intrepid student reporters.
Oh, I love it.
We're at a public campus building and just happened to take a look over at the practice field and noticed that Caleb Williams was getting most of the first team reps. So what do those student reporters do?
Pickens.
They report it. How does Lincoln Riley respond? Cancels all media availabilities the rest of the week.
Come on.
Next time they will talk to the media is after the TCU game on Saturday.
What a baby.
That's way out of line.
But it's not surprising. College football coaches are crazy. They're absolutely insane.
Well, they begin, not surprisingly, to think that they are a world unto themselves.
Now, this a couple of years ago, 2020, Oklahoma applied an opaque film on 54 dorm room windows that could conceivably see the Oklahoma practice field. The move came as many classes at Oklahoma moved online due to the pandemic. This is what Lincoln Riley wrote at that time. While I don't think many people would intentionally expose our student athletes to a competitive disadvantage, it would only take one instance to create an unfavorable situation. Oh, you should see it. Gophers are not immune to this. Looking at windows, who's watching, who's here, what's going on there. It's insanity. It's insanity. And Lincoln Riley is taking his ball and gone home.
I had, I'm not as old as you, Pat Kessler.
Of course you're not.
But no, I am
very few are.
Old. That's very true. I am old enough to have covered Indiana University football when Lee Corso
was the coach. Yeah, you bet.
Now, Lee Corso, you know.
Great coach.
Great coach, but a guy viewed kind of as a maverick, will say anything, great personality, fun for the reporters, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this predates when Lee Corso was necessarily quite as much fun as he has become since. And now, of course, he's very grandfatherly. He's sort of, you know, he's still on ESPN broadcast, right?
Yes, and absolutely.
College game day.
Yeah, I had one of the worst conversations I ever had with a coach was with Lee Corso. I was on the phone, and they, too, had a bit of a quarterback controversy. In their case, what they had was like three or four options, and there was no real proof that any of them were going to be any good, but they didn't have anybody who had kind of emerged. And so I was asking him, I was trying to press him on a couple of questions about why this guy's not playing instead of that guy. And eventually there's this long pause. And he says, Dan, you keep asking questions like that, and I'm just going to tell you, we've got four great quarterbacks, and one of them will lead Indiana University in our next game, whoever, I don't remember who they were playing.
And with that, I need to go. I do appreciate your call, though. Thank you so much.
Tense. And it always is true, Kessler, I think you can back this up. It's a pet peeve of any of us who were college student newspaper reporters, and I dare say for broadcasters who work for the whatever the you know the local the,
sure.
the university TV station might be, there have been maybe it's not true but maybe it is still true too many coaches who kind of look down on the whole enterprise and they kind of go, hey, this little game you guys are playing, you're not real, you're made up newspaper, you're a made up TV station, you're not real world, and so they become very patronizing and condescending. To a point also then where they think they can, you know, kind of elbow you out, intimidate you. Nothing used to drive me crazier than that.
This happens all the time with college journalists.
It does.
And some of the great journalism of is being done by college journalists right now. This is a really good example. As we see that at Oklahoma, at OU, I see that watching practice, they say, is a violation of longstanding media policies at OSU.
Right.
But those policies are not expressly written in any athletics department website, in the media guide, or in any of the pregame notes packages. So this is just understood. It's almost like when you get a press release as a reporter and it says, this is embargoed, and they send you the press release. Well, I don't agree to that. I do not agree. And college reporters, there are a number of college newspaper stories this week of reporters doing some really great work. I say, okay, don't talk to us. It's ridiculous. I got to believe that there has to be some school policy. And Garza, you tell me if this is true, where the coach is required to talk to the media. We're paying them millions of dollars, and I think they should be required to talk.
Yeah, typically that'll be in the contract that there'll be like the coaches' shows, for example, like he does on Fox 9, like he does on The Fan.
So,
and then other media appearances. I don't know if those are expressly like laid out for any of the coaches.
So in this case, they saw through a window.
They were basically in another building and were able to observe practice from that building,
okay.
A public building on campus.
And then accused of spying.
Yeah, and then accused of spying, I guess. I mean, because they're, you know, look, you make a pact. I'm sure it's true with Vikings I don't know if it's true anymore with Vikings. There was a time where, all right, we're going to give you access to practice.
Right.
But in doing that, we're going to
set some guidelines.
Set some guidelines. That to me is not out of bounds. If the alternative is you're not going to be able to watch the practice at all, the dilemma comes where it's like, okay, but what if, depending on what you see, if you end up seeing something that's really controversial, it's almost impossible not to report it. So there are guidelines, which I think most people will adhere to. There's off-the-record stuff that people, I think, like to would at least attempt to adhere to. But this is the problem with this is this does go back to the degree to which these coaches take themselves so seriously, and they tend to be angrier with the reporters that they seem to decide aren't worthy of their respect, and that all these just kids. You know, they're just kids in the college paper, and when it's like when they're going, well, no, we're trying to do a job just like everybody else is going to do, and that's what you have to accept. I told you the great ashtray incident. Guards, I've told you the great ashtray incident with Bob Knight, right?
I think so.
Oh, Lord.
Have I ever told you the great ashtray incident? Let's break, because otherwise we're going to be too far behind schedule. And then I got a story. I want another media question I want to run by you. And we'll get to a couple of other topics as well. It's Kessler in studio. Emails are just pouring in. Bradshaw and Brian inbox, booth@caffan.com.
Tune in to hear Lil B on the Common Man program every Friday afternoon. Plus, you can register to win a $50 Casey's General Store gift card during program password. Just use the hashtag program password on Twitter. That is your chance to win.
I'm getting an email from somebody who said dead air. What's going on?
Yeah, something didn't fire.
Oh.
That's why I scrambled out of there right in the middle of one of Pat Kessler's really interesting stories.
We appreciate people care. We really do appreciate it. Jesse is indeed back with us. Emailer Jay, I think you should play a snippet of a Deep Stones track. If the caller cannot name the tune, they don't win. Too complicated for Garzy.
Not a bad idea, though.
We've got tickets to give away later in the week. We could try.
All right. You're familiar with Katie Couric?
Oh, yeah.
She has raised an issue that has, I think, some interesting media implications to it that is worthy of your attention or worthy of your reaction. She has admitted that... I think she reveals this in her new book. She's got a new book out that is described as, man, she goes after a lot of people, I guess, pretty hard. Maybe they deserve it. I don't know. I haven't read the book. But she apparently admits in the book to, quote unquote, protecting Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You familiar with Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
I've heard of her.
Okay. By cutting out negative comments she made about people who kneeled during the national anthem. And she says that, well, there's a number of comments here. This is, I guess, the published story, which Couric wrote for Yahoo News in 2016, did include some quotes from Ginsburg saying that refusing to stand for the anthem was, quote, dumb and disrespectful. But she omitted what would be classified, apparently, as more problematic remarks. And she says that that she felt that when Ginsburg said that people like Kaepernick were, quote, dumb and disrespectful, end quote, they were comments that were, quote, unworthy of a crusader for equality like the liberal Supreme Court justice. It's worth noting that the interview, when she did the interview with the justice, she was 83 at the time. And she even says that as she struggled with the decision on what to do with this, whether to actually release it, that part portion of the interview, she called a friend, a columnist for the New York Times named David Brooks. And she asked Brooks, what do you think I should do? And that Brooks advised her that Ginsburg probably didn't understand the question, even though at the time she was still serving on the Supreme Court. David Weston, former head of ABC News, supposedly, according to the book, advised Couric to keep those comments in, saying she's on the Supreme Court. People should hear what she thinks. My gut says, unless you have real solid evidence that on the basis of her answers, she literally did not understand what you're asking. And I would say at that point, then you maybe should have clarified in the interview. I say, as a journalist, this is a no-no. I don't care what the age of the individual is, especially if she's still serving in the Supreme Court. And regardless of what you think about her opinions, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, I think it's a very bad precedent to set to say, I'm going to protect her from any kind of a blowback in an interview in which presumably you're there to give her a chance for you to question her and for her to answer.
This surprises me quite a bit. I'm a Katie Couric fan, have been for many years. She's someone who I think has been an exemplary journalist. So this does surprise me. It didn't help that she had described herself previously as an RGB fan. So she's a Ruth Bader Ginsburg fan. Another extenuating circumstance here, though, is that the Supreme Court emailed her after the interview and said, wanted her to know that Ginsburg had misspoken and that this she didn't really mean it the way it came off. I still think both of those should have been included in a story. Protecting someone because of age, because of misspeaking, in some ways, we deal with this all the time as reporters, where do we clean up someone's language? These are our issues. In this case, I think it should have been fully reported, including if she had reached out to the Supreme Court to say, is this what she really meant to say? Including that should all have been included. I've had many instances where I didn't know. Do you clean up with take out all the uhs, buts? Is it okay to compress what someone says? I mean, even that is something we have to run by an editor. So this one is something that should not happen in journalism.
I'll give her credit for including it in the book, because obviously she didn't have to. But to that extent, I couldn't agree more. This is part of what ends up making people suspicious of the folks who are making these decisions. Go, okay, well, why would you protect someone else that you weren't a fan of? Because that's the implication. This is somebody I'm a fan of, and I feel like this is going to put her in a position where she's going to get hammered. That's not for you to decide. I don't think during the interview process, that's not what you do. Again, I've had moments certainly where, okay, was there some, are we sure? Did he or she understand we were off the record? There can be screw-ups there where, well, no, I thought you said it all was off the record. You know, those kinds of things can happen, but to me, this is a bad
one. Well, this when I'm interviewing someone and they say, well, what I want to say is off the record, and I go, whoa, that's a red flag.
What do you mean by off the record?
Right.
And so there are those discussions all the time.
Yes.
Did she? This raises political questions, though, too. She's a big fan of RGB. A lot of people are. Yeah, conservatives, liberals, a lot of them are. But did she give the same leeway to Sarah Palin?
Exactly. That's
did she do that? Or did you put all of this out there? And she asked Sarah Palin in those devastating series of interviews, very simple questions. What do you read every day? What newspapers do you read? Well, can you name them? Can you name one newspaper that you read? You know, very simple questions that in many ways sabotaged and submarined the Sarah Palin candidacy. So did she give her the same leeway that she gave Ruth Bader Ginsburg? And if not, and just on its surface, it appears that that may be the case. She did not. That's problematic.
You want to do caller 11 right now, Garci? Let's do it. Caller 11, a pair of tickets to see, basically maybe even sit next to Pat Kessler at the Rolling Stones. It's possible.
So these are very expensive. These are very expensive tickets we're giving away.
That might be the fatal flaw. Right, I don't know. Caller 11, pair of tickets right now, 800-320-5326, 651-989-5326.
We're going to a go-go, as Mick used to say.
I might be boxed here, though, on the Katie Couric subject.
Yes, go ahead.
This is from emailer Jeffrey. Come on, Dan, you protect Kessler every week because of his age. I might be boxed.
That's true. You know, you cannot argue with that.
No.
So when you hear dead air.
That was the dead air last break.
Yeah, when you hear dead air, that's what I was going to say.
Exactly.
When you hear the dead air, yeah.
It's an interesting subject. Now, I need to pay off the tease about the great ashtray incident, which is also about reporters and sources kind of going at it, and how you can sometimes try to pick. In this case, I would say to you, my goal was to play the part of Benjamin Bradley as the editor-in-chief of the Indiana Daily Student at this point.
Oh.
So Indiana plays a football game against Ohio State, and they're getting destroyed, as they often did back in the day. And in the third or fourth quarter, it might have even been when Archie Griffin was at Ohio State, somebody for Ohio State is just scored like on a 68-yard touchdown run. You know, no one's even touched him. And from the back of the press box, someone has thrown one of those little metal ashtrays in apparent disgust, and it's hit against the front window of the assembly of the Memorial Stadium press box. I'm not there. I'm not at the game because that's toy department stuff. I'm editor of the whole paper now. So the reporter for the student paper, a guy named Phil, writes a story, his game story about that game, and his lead is about it got so bad in the fourth quarter of Ohio State Hoosiers that Indiana University basketball coach Bob Knight, seated in the last row, threw an ashtray and hit the front of the press box with it. So he runs the story runs.
And you approved it.
I approved it, although I don't even know if I was working that Sunday night. Yeah. But nevertheless, okay. So
you're the editor.
Monday morning, I'm at literally Ernie Pyle's desk, because there's Ernie Pyle's old roll top is there. It's tremendous. And the phone rings, and someone answers it and says, Dan, you got a phone call. I pick up the phone, and it's Bob Knight's secretary. Nancy, I think, was her name. I don't remember. In any case, Dan, Coach Knight needs to see you immediately. And I said, well, what is this about? She said, I'm not going to get into it, but I'm starting to put two and two together, and I'm going, it must be something to do about the ashtray deal. So I say, okay, what time? I don't know, it's going to be 2 o'clock. Whatever it was going to be quick. So I walked to Assembly Hall because I was a walker. Show up at the office, and Knight, I walk in, and Knight is screaming, what kind of BS operation are you running there, Barrera? What's the deal? How do you put stuff like that in the paper? And I said, I played dumb. You know, I did the old, are you saying it didn't happen? He goes, I didn't throw anything. Oh. And I said, by the way, let me back up a little bit. I call the reporter and I say, Phil, I don't think Knight is happy with the allegation. We need to have a really good conversation here. I'm going to go to bat. I'm going to be Ben Bradley for you. I'm going to go to bat for you, but you're certain you saw Bob Knight pick up an ashtray and throw it. Absolutely. No question about it. Okay. All right. I'm going to be the good editor.
Man, oh, man.
I'm going to take the heat. So sure enough, he's screaming. He then produces the guy who he claims actually threw the ashtray. Some student manager or some... Brings him in.
The fall guy.
The fall guy. Everybody's got to have a fall guy.
Oh, my God.
And I sit there and I go, Coach, I get it. I understand you're frustrated, but I've talked to my reporter. Just like you stand by your players, I got to stand by my reporter. At which point he loses his mind, gets up, and storms out of the office. Just leaves me there in his office. Just I'm by myself.
Vapors of anger.
Yeah, exactly. So I walk back from Assembly Hall, several blocks to Ernie Pyle Hall, and I'm going, you know, I don't have any doubt Knight's capable of doing it, but now I'm starting to get a little worried that is it possible that he didn't really do it? So I call the reporter back in and I said, you know, I just got reamed out by the head coach. I'm prepared to do that. But I said, you got to tell me. I said, that's no more messing around here. You saw him do it. And he swallows hard. And he says, well, not really.
Oh!
I said, what? I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, he was in that area, and when I turned, and I said, but that, yeah, chances are he did, but that's not good enough. That's not what we wrote.
You still don't have
it. It's exactly it. Mm-hmm. You're Ben Bradley going to Woodward and Bernstein. You don't have the story. Yeah. So, to this day, I don't know. I think there's still a good chance that was just a stooge who volunteered because, you know, guys like that have stooges. But it was this whole deal of, again, if I'm being fair to everybody, he's not my reporter has reversed his field, changed, basically said, I didn't really see him do it. So we had to run a quote unquote clarification, as we say in the business.
Did you name that guy, the fall guy? Did you say it was student manager Pat Kessler? That poor guy.
No, actually, we didn't because nobody would have cared.
Well, his parents probably reading it and going, what the hell?
True.
And Bobby is probably still angry.
And Knight, yeah. Well, he got over it eventually. But, that's the deal. So there's an example of, to this day, my gut tells me he probably threw it, that Knight did, being Knight. But that's not the same thing as nailing the story. Yeah. And being in that position with of course, then I wanted to strangle the reporter, who I knew very well. I'd worked with him for several years. But it's like, you can't, don't do that. So my Ben Bradley moment kind of got cratered because
spins into infinity, the ether.
Yeah, exactly.
Dang it.
It just goes to show you, you know, you try to do the right thing. You know, I'm going to stand tall for my reporter. Go, bring it on. Bring it on, Bobby.
The golden age of journalism.
You know, just scream
Throw
at me.
Throw a chair at me.
I dare you. I'm Ben Bradley. Yeah. It's my guy. Yeah. It's our job. It's journalism. But in this case, it might have been embellished just a little bit. Anyway.
You're no OU student newspaper spying on football practice. That's what you should have been doing.
Because they got the story right.
That's
apparently
what you should have been doing.
So in any case, that was the what I call the great Bob Knight ashtray incident.
To the people that are calling right now, Justin from Burnsville is our winner for the Rolling Stones tickets. So
awesome.
Thank you for playing.
Justin!
Will have more Stones tickets later in the week and Wild tickets a little bit later tonight, but we do have our winner.
Emailer Michael, did Knight himself intimidate the reporter? Could it be that Knight directly or indirectly intimidated your reporter, and that's why he said he didn't do it? I guess it's possible. I don't think he talked to him, but I guess I don't know. It's been many, many decades, obviously, since it took place. But I've never forgot. I mean, I've never stopped holding against the reporter.
And obviously, you remember it in meticulous detail. All these years later.
Phil Tapman. I remember his name to this day.
Yeah.
It's like, don't do that to me,
Phil. Wonder what he's doing.
Don't do that to me. He was in the business for a long time.
Call I don't in, think 989. He's in the I'm going to find him during the break.
Yeah, you might be able to find him. We got one more break. We got a shorty left up for you. I want to get to a couple things that you had brought to my attention, and we'll wrap things up with Kessler. We do have in the final half hour, we're going to give away a pair of tickets. If even if you're disappointed you didn't get the Stones tickets.
Phil Tatman?
Yeah.
T-A-T-M-A-N?
Yes.
Okay.
We've got a pair of tickets to the Wild home opener, which we're going to give away the final half hour of this show. That is on October 19th. Is that a week from yesterday?
Yes.
The home opener?
These are tremendous
giveaways. Tuesday night.
Who are we playing?
Winnipeg.
Yes. And our season opener is in Anaheim, correct?
Against the Ducks.
That's on Friday night. You can hear all these.
You can come see us 3 hours before every home Vikings kickoff or pregame on the Plaza. It's presented by Shields. Each week, stop by our booth and use hashtag Cafe and Vikes. That's your shot to be Rube of the game and win a $100 gift card thanks to Shield.
All right, we're back. Kessler, extended version today. Where was I here? I want to get to a couple of things. We gave away the Stones tickets, right? We're going to give away Wild tickets at some point between now and 9:30 tonight.
6:30.
What am I talking about? We're not going to go that long, I don't think. Probably 6:30 would make more sense. We kind of did the Beatles thing, although we never really developed it. Real quick on... we talked a lot of Gruden yesterday. Actually, for... Go back. We talked about it, in fact, with an extended conversation with the Vikings defensive coordinator, Andre Patterson, who was very vocal about how disgusted he was about the comments. And at the time, we only had the original allegation. The stuff had not come out through the New York Times that included other emails with homophobic stuff, misogynistic stuff, etc. As you know, Kessler, this is becoming, like everything else, political. So now you have suddenly people who you wouldn't think would have a political fight in this game are making it political. Sort of what's happening. Kyrie Irving now has, as his defenders, Ted Cruz, for example.
And Donald Trump Jr.
I forgot about that one. Yeah. Donald Trump Jr. So what did you make of the... Let me put it this way. If there had been only the single allegation and nothing else had surfaced, do you think that Gruden might have survived, or do you think it was that in the combination with that more coming out and the possibility that there might even be more that we don't yet know?
When it first came out, my first thought was, wait a second, this was 10 years ago, and then when I heard what it was, I kept hearing it described as a racial trope. It wasn't a racial trope. It's racist.
Correct.
What he described the head of the players' union as. I mean, it's just plain and simple racist. Should have been disciplined for that. Then when I heard his apology, I thought it was a little disingenuous. I thought, well, this is odd. It was completely disingenuous. Yeah, and
he basically said, "Well, I was mad. I got frustrated.
So I called somebody a racist name
as an adult man, not somebody's." 12 years old, not somebody's on Twitter at the age of 14, an adult man. Sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, I thought that this thing was it was a little off key. It just didn't feel right. It didn't seem right. And then when the New York Times came out with the emails, it's so shocking. I was shocked. I mean, I've always been kind of a John Gruden fan. I mean, he's a tough guy and kind of crazy, and I've enjoyed the show. Had no
Hard not
idea.
To enjoy the show, yeah.
Had no idea that he was this kind of a person, and there's no explaining it. It's against every single thing that the NFL stands for. The promotion of women referees. 45% of the viewers of the NFL are women and girls. The kneeling, the protesting during a national anthem of police brutality. That has racial overtones and could be described as racist. All of that was so shocking to me. Calling Goodell names, that didn't bother me so much, although I thought it was weird.
Well, a lot of people call them names. The question is what the names were.
Yeah, so all of that, I think. But then it's raising all of these other issues. And I thought people were trying to defend him. Now they're playing whataboutism because they took his name out of the Tampa Bay the Hall of Fame. The Bucks Hall
the
of
ring
Fame.
Of whatever their ring of honor
ring
is,
of
yeah.
fame, ring of yeah. shame now. Yeah. You know, Warren Sapp is in it. Why aren't we taking him on? Yeah. It's a lot of whataboutism. But it's still raising just tremendous cultural questions about why Gruden,
why not anybody else in the ownership structures? 650,000 emails, should we be able to see those? Do we have a right to see those? Is there a lot more of this in the NFL? And it just brings to reality, it brings it all to earth with a sickening thud of the game that I love.
Well, here, yeah, all true. There is a journalistic component to this as well. Some people have asked these questions. How and why does this get leaked? And why is this the only stuff that's getting leaked, which is what raises the question of what else is out there? Who, you know, who's trying to protect whom? Because I think that's part of the concern is what else might be there and who's a little maybe has some trepidation because about what might be revealed. Because as we have to remember, this was about the investigating the Washington football team for all of the stuff that, well, needed to be investigated, quite frankly. That's the start of this thing.
This is investigating Dan Snyder,
correct,
the owner of the Washington football team. And we see in these emails with Gruden and the high-level officials with Washington exchanging pornographic images of cheerleaders. This was happening during this investigation. So it does raise a very important question. Is this the only one? How many people are on these emails? Is the owner involved in this? Why Gruden and why not Allen, the son of the great coach? Why not? I mean, there are way too many questions that this now raises, aside from the cultural, societal questions of how many, 75% of the league are African-American black players, but only a handful are coaches and officials. There are no African-American owners. I mean, there's so many questions that we have to ask because of this.
Now, are you bothered? Are you up in arms about the Adam Schefter element in this story? For those who are not familiar with it, and I view this a little bit as more maybe a story that media people are fascinated by than your average Rube, but maybe I'm wrong. Basically, and I don't know how this came out, but that Schefter, there's some exchange with him and I think Bruce Allen again, in which he basically says, I'm going to send you a story to get and let me know what kind of, you know, additions, subtractions, whatever, because I'm about to file it, or I'm going to file it tomorrow, whatever the case may be, that it's coming. And I don't know. I mean, in my time doing journalism stuff or doing more newspaper stuff, I occasionally would call somebody back and say, again, I want to be sure we're off the on the record here, or did I understand you correctly in terms of what you said? I never have a problem with that. But the idea of literally sending an entire story to a source is not for me good journalistic practice at all. So what do you make of that part of it? Do you think does the average Rube care the way we might care?
It's a great question. Do they care what the media do? I think it feeds into a narrative that the media are crooked. It feeds into that.
And that's
in cahoots with them. But in all of my years, I personally have never, ever done it. I don't know anybody in my circle who has ever done that. I've called up people to make sure that I'm quoting them correctly.
Correct.
If I have a story that is like a bombshell story in which they are going to be criticized, I will call them up and say, here's what it is.
Right.
I need your comment.
Reaction.
Never send a finished story or a draft of a story ever. I believe that's fireable. I really do. If you are that close to a source, somebody you cover, that's problematic.
On that note, we got to go.
Dang it.
Well, I mean, what we're trying to do with the Kessler segment, I think, as it evolves, is turn it into something that goes beyond politics, that includes sports, that includes music. We didn't even get really into as deeply as I wanted to the McCartney stuff. Maybe we can even do that next week, because we're trying to show people that you're about more than politics, that there's a lot of that. You're a Renaissance man.
Eventually, we'll discuss that art history class that you're going to take.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for that. Yeah.
Eventually. How long have you been retired, by the way?
Well, am I retired? Is the question.
You want to break anything today?
No. Okay. So, you know, it's Well, I have been contacted by a number of art history professors.
Not surprised now.
The case.
They're waiting. Yeah.
I'm going to do it, and you laugh.
No,
I will be here to talk about.
I can't wait
Mondrian
for your lecture on the impressionistic.
One of the things
artists.
That I want to do is just take a few weeks and kind of do nothing. But then I'm kind of wondering, we're in the COVID, we're all kind of isolated. I think I want to go back to school.
You are so bad.
I would
bad.
Love to learn more about disinformation, misinformation, journalism, how
wait
we follow
it.
This,
wait,
what's
wait.
Happening
okay,
in this country politically, in post-fact
I
society.
Myself.
I'd love to do that. I would also like to take some art history courses and then work around the house, you know, fix up the cabin like everybody else. Take out the pontoon.
Can I Who be are you talking to there? I don't even remember.
That was DeRusha and Heather Brown.
I was talking to myself in the mirror.
That was a voicemail that he left me.
Just recorded
it. Yeah, it was a voicemail he left me.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God, it's almost as bad as when I hear myself laugh.
So that was November, so
That's
we're coming
cringy.
Up on a year, and you still haven't taken
That's
art history.
Cringy.
Yeah, it's been a year.
Yeah.
You've had enough time.
Yeah.
It's been three,
three
full semesters.
Well, you know, with
including summer school.
With the cabin and the pontoon.
A lot of stuff.
You know,
man. A lot of stuff.
You know,
you'll be at the Original Bank, 11 o'clock on Saturday, Gophers, Nebraska.
Yeah, so the Huntington Bank,
Is that what it's called now?
Yeah, put it in the vault.
All right.
Could you do that?
Sure, we can.
Put that W in the vault.
That easy? Huh? You're guaranteeing it?
That is so bad.
It is bad, but you're guaranteeing it.
I derailed us.
W.
I'm sorry. We got to go.
It's a
we
W.
We got to go. We're late.
Go. Okay, bye.
Kessler, thanks. Let's come back with the show wrap. We'll let you know what you might have missed and maybe even give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Wild home opener. That is the for the date of October 19th. So it's
The Fan.
Is brought to you by the Cafe and Tailgate at Buffalo Wild Wings 3 hours before every home game across the street from the stadium. 8 o'clock this Saturday at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Show wrap.
Thank you to Glenn Mason, and thank you as well to Pat Kessler for extended time today, including Top 5 at 5. How about our tickets? Do we give them away right now?
I think we do.
Or did you already?
No, we're giving them away now.
Caller 11, a pair of tickets to see the Minnesota Wild in the home opener. That is scheduled for the 19th of October. That is a week from yesterday, if we have our math right.
Correct.
I think we do. Caller 11 right now, pair of tickets to see your Minnesota Wild. See Kaprizov.
I'm going
opener.
To that game.
Well, you got to like, you're Mr. Season ticket package now.
I'm going to that game. I'm going to the Wolves home opener next week. I'm going to the Simone Biles gymnastics tonight at Target Center.
Is this the new you or is this all kid related?
Both.
Little both.
I'm
okay.
using my kids to get back out there. Taking my wife to the gymnastics, going to Fogo tonight. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I'm back out there, baby.
No question, as we like to say in the business. Tomorrow's broadcast includes a visit with Sean Salisbury and the Big Knocker, not to mention Dr. Dan's inbox. That is the combo platter. For tomorrow's show, we thank you for those of you who have listened and have contributed in one form or another. We know the vast majority of you listen but don't necessarily contribute, don't email, and don't call. And that's okay. We understand that. Might mean you're saner than the rest of us. Not exactly sure. But that is the plan. What do we have coming up tonight on The Fan? Do we know?
Can you not see it? Oh, it went away.
It went away.
Why did it go away? No, it didn't.
It's not on my screen.
Oh, Vikings X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, Wild Weekly, Dan Patrick. Tomorrow, Sean Salisbury, Dr. Dan's
no,
inbox.
I got to. Yeah, that was on there, but for some reason, the lineup tonight on The Fan was not. I think we're going to get a little bit more fall coming. A little chillier temperatures, but not absurd. I don't mind it. I know you don't either. We got more emails from Maui today. Now, Kauai guy moved from that island to the Big Island.
Oh, we're happy for him.
I am happy for him. I'm very envious of him and jealous as well. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll start it all over again tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Maybe by then, Brett Favre will pay off his debt to the state of Mississippi.
Why don't you put your pants back on, Slappy? Where are we, America?
Thank you for the memories. Thank you for the great time. We love you, Dan.